Blog Talk Radio.
Some days it seems like it's so hard to get out of bed. So many issues facing me, it's coming to a head. I stand in needing your anointing, Lord, cover me, renew in me the right spirit, please. Till that secret, sacred place in you, make an atmosphere to hear from you. Restore me so I'll be
of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. This is Blog Talk Radio, and today is February the 26th, 2022. And we are Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yoke of bondage. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. And we honor Dr. Elder Marie Carey, who is the president and CEO of the Amazing Grace Ministries. We have a spirit-filled lesson on today, so let's get right to it. Announcements. Dr. Carey will be preaching this fourth Sunday at Christ Deliverance Center, located at 8226 South Muskegon Avenue at 2:30 p.m. Come join us and be prepared to receive a word from God. Join Amazing Grace Ministries for Friday noonday prayer. Prayer will resume on Friday, March 11th. Prayer is every other Friday, second and fourth Fridays at 12 noon. The call-in number is 1-605-468-8807. Access code is 351-4828. Come pray with us. For more information, contact Dr. Maria Carey by phone at 309-750-7584 or email her at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A, Amazinggraceministries at gmail.com. Please consider donating to Amazing Grace Ministries, Inc. You can send that donation to P.O. Box 438411, Chicago, Illinois, 60643. And to those who have sent a donation, we thank you for undergirding this ministry. Your donations are very well appreciated. To everyone listening in Radio Land, I decree blessings unto you in this new year. If you are blessed by this talk show, I need you to express it via text, email, or comment on our lesson page. Text at 309-750-7584 or email at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital A and it's E as far as amazing. We are on the air at 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. We have an exciting lesson, so please tune in. We also have a live link that you can click on too, and it's http://tobtr.com/s/12068107. And this is our live link to connect to today's lesson. The celebration of our history. Well, February is Black History Month, and we have talked about love, but we have not addressed this month that means so much to African Americans. The celebration of Black History Month began as Negro History Week, which was created in 1926 by Carter G. Woodson, a noted African American historian, scholar, educator, and publisher. It became a month-long celebration in 1976. The month of February was chosen to coincide with the birthdays of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. Since 1976, every American president has designated February as Black History Month and endorsed a specific theme. The Black History Month 2022 theme, Black Health and Wellness, explores the legacy of not only Black scholars and medical practitioners in Western medicine, but also other ways of knowing, birth workers, doulas, midwives, naturopaths, herbalists, and et cetera. Throughout the African diaspora, the 2022 theme considers activities, rituals, and initiatives that Black communities have done to do very well. The term African diaspora first appeared in the literature in 1950s and has been used by various politicians, historians, writers, and ethnographers to refer to all descendants of African. Some scholars have used it to refer to the current immigration from Africa. The African Union defines the African diaspora as individuals of African origin living away from their home continent, Africa. Our hair. Madam C.J. Walker was born Sarah Breedlove in 1867 to parents who have been enslaved. She spent years as a struggling washerwoman, but later achieved fame and fortune by creating a hair care line for Black women. Walker was a talented promoter who often varied the story of how she came up with her products. But we know how she was inspired by her own hair loss and a desire to serve the needs of other African-American women. In 1905, Walker headed to Denver to sell Pora products and continued to pursue her own hair care solutions. She became a cook for pharmacist Edmund L. Schultz, who may have helped her understand the chemistry of such products. In 1906, she married Charles Joseph Walker and began to call herself Madam C.J. Walker, a name she held onto after the marriage had ended. By this time, she had developed her own formula to heal scabs and spur health growth. Walker stopped working for Turnbull, and the Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company started selling Madam C.J. Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower in 1906. Ingredients included precipitated sulfur, copper, sulfate, beeswax, petroleum, like petroleum jelly, coconut oil, and a violet extract perfume to cover the surface of sulfurous smell. Walker once explained the formula of a hair grower came to her in a dream. God answered my prayer for one night I had a dream, and in that dream a big Black man appeared to me and told me what to mix up for my hair. Some of the remedy was grown in Africa, but I sent for it, mixed it, put it on my scalp, and in a few weeks, my hair was coming in faster than it had ever fallen out. The rest is history. The exposition and application of the scripture. This word has come alive in the form of Jesus. The word will captivate your mind, give you illumination in your heart, and lift you up to a greater level in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will take you on a journey to great peace, to greater hope, and closer to Jesus as we prepare for a new year of expectations. We are looking for God's blessing in this new year. Sit back. Take notes. Let's go. The theme for this month and year is the year of release. We are looking for God's blessings in this new year. The theme for this month of February is loving who I am in God, self-love, and self-care. The lesson for the fourth Saturday in February is the source of justice and love. Our text is coming from Isaiah 9, 1 through 7, and this is the King James Version. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lighted, afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of the death, upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the war is with confusion noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this. Oftentimes, justice, especially for African Americans, is evasive. That is designed to serve and protect all tends to have an exception to the rule when it comes to black populations. We are confronted with so many disparities until justice is driven back and the righteous standards at distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets and honesty cannot enter. The Lord, having witnesses, that injustice was and is solely displeased. Isaiah 59, 14 and 15, and this is the New King James Version. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stand afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. The outlook is dismal, and there is a fear that our sorrows and troubles will never end. Believers, however, have an insurance that God has provided our source for justice in the person of Jesus Christ. In the text, Judah's outlook is bleak as Israel conveys a message of hope concerning their future. He foretells that despite imminent danger, help is on the way. Israel had the burden of proclaiming God's truth while his nation eroded before his eyes under the leadership of King Ahaz. He teaches that the Lord may not always take us around our troubles, but if we follow him wholly, then he will lead us safely through them. Some history on Isaiah. Isaiah means Yahweh is salvation, or the Lord saves. He was married. Scriptures refer to his wife as a prophetess and identifies him as the father of two sons. He is the author of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah's long ministries range from 740 B.C. to 680 B.C., 40 to 60 years. Isaiah was a preacher and prophet, mainly to the smaller kingdom of Judah, the capital of which was Jerusalem, also called Zion. Isaiah prophesied during the reign of five kings, Judah. They were Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Manasseh. Isaiah received his commission to ministry in a frightening vision. This was in the last year of King Uzziah, Hezekiah's great-grandfather. And that's Isaiah 6, 1 through 10. Isaiah was contemporary with the prophet Hosea and Micah. The nation of Isaiah's concern included, one, Assyria, Asher under King Sennacherib, capital Nineveh, two, Babylon, Chaldee, under King Nebuchadnezzar, capital Babylon, Media and Persia under King Cyrus, capital Shushan or Susa, Israel, Ephraim, under King Pekah, capital Samaria, Judah, Zion, under King Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, capital Jerusalem, Syria, Aram, under King Rezin, capital Damascus, Egypt and Ethiopia, under princes, major city Zoan and Memphis. Other facts about Isaiah. Isaiah presents oracles against 11 nations. Babylon, Assyria, Philistia, Moab, Syria, Ethiopia, Egypt, Edom, Arabia, Judah, and Tyrus. Most of Isaiah's prophecies are written as poetry. Isaiah's prophecies and oracles frequently expressed hope in the coming Messiah and the message he would bring. Isaiah foretold the suffering and sacrifice of Christ and his victory. That's in Isaiah 53. Isaiah helped to prevent Judah's captivity and exile by Assyria when the Assyrian king Sennacherib invaded the land during Hezekiah's reign. Isaiah said that an ointment made from figs would cure Hezekiah's illness and spare his life, Isaiah 38:21. This prophecy was delivered during the reign of King Ahaz of Judah and is part of a larger unit that covers Isaiah 7 through 12. Ahaz is remembered as one of the most wicked of the kings of Judah, 2 Kings 16, 2 and 4. He succeeded his father Jotham in 7 and 35 and reigned in Jerusalem until 715 B.C. During his reign, Ahaz was faced with a major political and military crisis that posed a serious threat to his young tenure as king. The events and details are described in Isaiah 7 and 2, and then 2 Kings 16 and 2 Chronicles 28. Ahaz faced a military threat from the north, Aram, modern-day Syria, and Israel, the northern kingdom. They decided to overthrow Ahaz and seize Jerusalem for themselves. Isaiah 7 and 6, and this is the New King James Version, read, "Let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make gap in it walls for ourselves and set a king over them, the sons of Tabal." It was saying, let us call sickening thread. Ahaz was tempted to create a human solution to the problem he faced by aligning with other weak nations rather than wait on the Lord to deliver him. He completely ignored the assurance of God's protection given through Isaiah 7, 4 through 9, and then 10 through 14. Isaiah 4 through 9 says, "And say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. For the two tails of those smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus said the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established." Isaiah 7, 10 through 14 says, "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God, ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men, but will ye weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." Isaiah 9:2-7 is a Messianic looks forward to the day when God would raise up a new leader in the land. It will be a time of peace and prosperity, a time when the enemies of Judah and Israel will be judged, and there would be an unusual period of peace in the land. This new king's heart will be touched by God and his life anointed with the spirit of justice and righteousness. The early Christian church preached that day these words of the prophecy of the coming Prince of Peace, with the fulfillment in the coming of Jesus Christ into the world, just as the Lord promised to give to King Ahaz a sign in Israel in Isaiah 7:14. He sent angels to give a sign to the shepherds where they would find the babe. God continued to give us signs of his love and grace. Let's sum up these 3 points. Point one, the turning point for future deliverance is hope. 2, God's favor gives the foundation of joy. And 3, God's generous foundation is love. The turning point of future deliverance, hope. According to the late American poet Henry Longfellow, into each life, some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary. Unfortunately, there is a tendency to focus on the days of despair rather than on God that can make it a distant memory. Perhaps that is why the late Reverend Timothy Wright was singing the good news, "I'm so glad trouble don't last always." Likewise, Psalm 35 reminds us is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And that's the New King James Version. Isaiah wanted to assure the people that there is a guarantee of hope in the midst of their despair. As children of the Most High God, we have nevertheless comforter that brings peace when the tempest is raging. Isn't it great to know that our God can relieve us of our troubles and bring stability back into our lives? We may experience persecution, but never are we forsaken. 2 Corinthians 4:9. According to 2 Corinthians 6:10, it will be a matter of comfort to us in times of darkness that he who forms the light and created darkness can bring us out. The scripture on today introduces us to a nation that was experiencing gloomy and dark times, like we are today. They were void of hope. God promised them a future of deliverance. He promised them great light that would dispel darkness. We can find the fulfillment of that promise in Matthew 4:13-16. Matthew 4:13-16 says, "And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the seacoast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region in shadow of death, light it sprung up." It denotes a turning point for future deliverance. As we are on the cusp of a war with Russia and Ukraine, we still have hope. Point two, God's favor gives a fountain of joy. Some 740 years before the event took place, Isaiah, with his spiritual eye, looked down through the centuries of time to the momentous occasion and saw God's favor. He acknowledged how God had multiplied the nation and increased the people's joy. He used smiles to denote the extent of their joy. Imagine how the farmers feel. He had toiled many mornings, sowed tears, and now the day of reaping the precious fruit lay at hand. How happy are the warriors at the end of a hazardous battle when they get to partake in the spoils after victory is won. Who else can give us this kind of universal joy but God? God's angel made the announcement in Luke 2:10, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. God's Son brought joy to the world through the gospel, and God's people who receive the light rejoice. The nations be glad and sing for joy." Psalm 67:4. With this joy, there will be jubilation and exaltation. It is not the kind of joy that can be purchased at Walmart. It is a holy joy. It is a spirit-filled joy. It is a rejoicing joy. It is a harvest time joy. This joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Because God's favor brings the foundation of joy. When death hovers, we shall live. When beaten, we are not killed. In times of sorrow, we can rejoice. When in poverty, he makes us rich. When we are depleted, we possess everything. The world sees the disenfranchised, but in God's sight, there is always rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 6:9-10. 2 Corinthians 6:9-10 read, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Just as they had God's favor, so do we. Thanks be to God who gives us the foundation of joy. Lastly, number 3, God's generous foundation of love. So we're going to conclude this month with Black History and Love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That generous gift of his son establishes the extreme reach of his love. It is not just any kind of love. It is a sacrificial love. Love is a sacrificial action. Love always pays a price. Love always costs something. Love is expensive. When there is love, benefits accrue to another's account. Love is for someone else, not for the giver. Love gives. It does not grab. God loves. In his giving, his son for us is sacrificial love. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Twice in the scripture we see unto us. Unto us a child is born. This child is the personification of God's glory. It speaks of his humanity. He embodies God's splendor, holiness, and majesty. Upon us a son is given. The title son declares his deity. He is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. He is God in person. All who have an interest in Christ through the eyes of faith believe the count of his virgin birth. More importantly, we should be able to give an account of his birth in us. We don't do the things that we used to do. We don't lie. We don't cheat. We don't steal. We don't commit fornication or adultery because of Christ. The Bible is the totality and identifies Jesus using 256 different names. This scripture this morning alone introduced 5 of these names. He, his deity, his purpose, his sacrifice, his love. His love is too vast to contain in one name. The establishment of his kingdom is not a temporary fix, nor a passing fad. He will reign splendor forever. And for those of us that accept him, he will uphold justice and righteousness as he delivers us from the penalty of sin. In conclusion, Isaiah proclaims that a son, the Prince of Peace, will be given. The word prince suggests that the Messiah is a ruler, a leader of nations. Peace is rendered in Hebrew as shalom, denoting one of God's most precious gifts to us. Shalom is not just the absence of turmoil and confusion. It literally means completeness, soundness, welfare, prosperity, and safety. Jesus Christ is our true source of justice. His embodiment of God in flesh satisfies God's justice against sin. The gift of his son personifies the clearest display of God's love for a fallen people. He gives uninterrupted light, unquenchable joy, and unceasing love. It is imperative that we form a relationship with the one whose kingdom will be established and upheld with justice and righteousness forever. So in this time of great evil in the world, as Russia invades Ukraine, in addition, we continue to see disparities in the African-American communities and more illnesses. We have hope because God is still in control. We understand that sin is the reason for all that is taking place. But God's unwavering love has given us a tool and a way out. So we must continue to spread the gospel to all and to everyone that would listen as our light shine before men, that they may see the good works in us. Let us pray. Lord God, in Jesus' name, we come humbly to your throne of grace. God, before we begin asking you for anything, allow us to thank you for everything. Thank you for who you are. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. You are the Prince of Peace. You are the Justice and the Source of Love. God, we love and adore you. Thank you for waking us up this morning with our minds looking towards heaven. Thank you that all you have done. Thank you for all you're doing. And thank you for all that you are going to do. And if it had not been for the Lord on our side, we just don't know where we would be. God, look on your people everywhere. Look on Dr. Carey. Look on the listeners. One by one, name by name. Look on our leaders. Look on the world leaders. Look on my pastor, Superintendent Dr. Byron L. Gibbs and Lady Gibbs. Do for us, God, that which only you can do. You know the unspoken request. According to your will, God, provide. Look on Mother Lee and the Lee family, God, for the loss of her son. Strength, God. Strength like no other. You are our strength, God. You are still in control. We magnify you, God, on today. We love you. We adore you. We place no one before you because, God, you are God all by yourself, and you don't need nobody else. And on today, Lord God, we thank you. And, Lord God, we just ask you to be with us. Be in everything that we say and do on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio, where your president and CEO is Dr. Maria Carey, and on today with your co-host, Evangelist Terry Rogers. Tune in next week. Dr. Carey will be back, same time. And remember, if something was said that encouraged your heart, let Elder Dr. Carey know by text or email. Text her 309-750-7584 or drop her an email at amazinggraceministries@gmail.com. That's capital AmazinggraceMinistries@gmail.com. She would love to hear from you. Wear your mask in spite of. And don't forget to continue to social distance yourselves. Be careful, people of God. Until next time, enjoy the remainder of your day and be blessed.